name justice, I'm sure. Or Quade, Catlett versus Catlett. Or Quade, Catlett versus Catlett. Counsel, whenever you're ready.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
My name is Matt Catlett. I represent the appellant Jeffrey Catlett, no relation. Never met Jeffrey Catlett before this case, and that's the truth. I was not trial counsel in this case. Stephanie Hupp represented Mr. Catlett at the trial level. I did enter an appearance and filed a series of post-trial motions. So in some ways, my knowledge of the record is just like this court's. It's just looking at a transcript and bill of exceptions. Answers about strategic, why witnesses were not called, why exhibits were offered, I'm not going to be able to answer. Jeff assigns every possible error in this case, that the court lacked subject matter jurisdiction, that the court erred in its division of property in awarding alimony to Irene, to ordering Jeff to pay child support for a child that's not Jeff's child, ordering Jeff to provide health insurance and pay uncovered medical expenses, and also awarding Jeff parenting time with the child. It's an interesting case. Nebraska law is pretty clear. In order for a district court to dissolve a marriage, at least one of the parties must be a resident of the state on the date of filing and must have been a resident for 1 year last passed and have a bona fide intent to make Nebraska his or her permanent home.
Counsel, isn't there case law that says, though, that that residency could have been acquired prior to the year before the dissolution action was filed, and the party, for whatever reason, being a truck driver or being a construction worker, whatever, is out of the state?
Well, I don't think that's the case in this case. I think the evidence in this case showed that Jeff had not been in the United States. I mean, not ever, but I mean, he's a United States citizen. But for years, I mean, there was testimony at trial that Jeff's testified that he'd been in Kuwait the whole time. And of course, the tax returns that were offered, let me say this slowly, not by Jeff, but by Irene, showed that Jeff had been in the country, not Nebraska, for, I mean, what was it, 36 days in 2012? 21 days in 2011, even before the marriage. It was 60 days in 2010. This is before they were married.
About 2009.
I don't know that that is in the record. It may be. I know that the testimony was that Jeff, or the evidence was that Jeff had been employed in Kuwait as a petroleum and gas engineer with a company called Kent's Overseas Limited, I think is what the name of it was, since 2007.
But what brought him to Nebraska originally was to take care of his sick mother, right?
Take care of his sick mother?
Right. Isn't that what the record reflects?
I believe that... Well, I mean, I don't think it's in the record, but I mean, I don't have any problem telling this court that Jeff grew up in Auburn, Nemaha County, Nebraska, and then joined the military when he was 18 or 19 and then left and didn't, I think, return to Nebraska until many years later and only to just briefly take care of, I believe you're right, that it was a sick relative or something like that. I'm not sure exactly of the circumstances, but there's not any real, no, th- dispute about whether or not Jeff really lived here, or whether Jeff had a bona fide intent to make Nebraska his permanent home. And the law is also clear that the parties cannot confer subject matter jurisdiction on a tribunal by acquiescence, consent, what their pleadings say.
Well, what do we make of his pleadings where he admits that
he's not under
resident?
Oath.
Judicial admission.
I think that, well, and there's also testimony, however, there's also testimony at trial that he'd been in Kuwait the whole time. I've been in Kuwait the whole time. I mean, it's from the record, the tax returns. I'm not a tax lawyer, I don't know why this would be done, but at one year there was a Nebraska return filed. Of course, it was a non-resident return. There isn't any question that he owned real estate. I practiced law in Connecticut for several years before coming back to Nebraska. I owned a rental property in Lincoln.
So
I had a car back here.
Is the question one of fact or one of law as to whether he's a resident? Because that affects our standard of review.
The court has to determine. The court, of course, has to look at the facts to determine whether or not the facts support the court having subject matter jurisdiction. I think that the court just looked at the facts. I don't think the court ever even looked at the facts, okay, in this case.
Because jurisdiction wasn't an issue.
Yeah, I don't think that anybody ever really raised this. Again, the pleading that Ms. Hupp filed on Jeffrey's behalf, which wasn't verified by Jeff. I mean, you hire a lawyer and your lawyer says, you get, find out you're being sued for divorce, you call a lawyer and the lawyer says, okay, I'll take care of it. I mean, there's the answer and counter-complaint that Jeff filed is not verified by him. I mean, the only thing that's, I think, again, nowhere in the pleadings does it actually say Jeff has a bona fide intent to make Nebraska his permanent home. And that is another issue here that the court never made any findings. I think the court was just, I don't think Jeff knew, I don't think Jeff realized, certainly, that this is not something that you can simply, by a matter of pleading, confer jurisdiction on the court about. So, of course, it does require the court to look at the facts, and I don't think that the facts, you said that the court says the pleadings. Well, first of all, the pleadings do not say anything about a bona fide intent to make Nebraska permanent home. There's no question about that. Moreover, the testimony at trial was, I'd been in Kuwait the whole time. It's important to note that this is not a truck driver. This is not someone who circles the country back and forth and then goes home and hangs his hat for a little while. This is a guy who doesn't even work for a United States-based employer.
But he testifies that he has two residents. He says here and Kuwait.
Well, I guess it goes to this issue of domicile. You'd only really have one home. Like I said, I lived in Connecticut. I had a residence back here. I just don't think you can have multiple homes. And in this case, the actual evidence was that Jeff was not, that this was not Jeff's home. This is a place that somebody else lived in, okay? That I think the evidence was that Jeff had a cousin that lived in this particular house that he had. And that's how that's the house that Irene moved into. I mean, Irene was here on this I-864 EZ visa. And I don't have very much time left. There's a lot of problems in this case. The court ordered Jeff to pay alimony to Irene. I mean, this is a 2-year marriage at the time of filing. They were in Kuwait the first 18 months of the marriage. She was working. There was testimony that during the pendency of the case, she'd acquired a job making 40-some thousand dollars a year and then quit it. There's no evidence indicating that she's not capable of earning an income, that she had given up a career in any way. She testified that while Jeff wanted me to come here, and yet she also testified that something about, I know the laws here versus the laws there, and we don't believe that, we believe that this was an orchestrated, planned event, and I'm out of time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good morning, judges.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for the opportunity to argue on behalf and in support of the district court's order on this No Rain Tuesday, sunny No Rain Tuesday. My name is Angelo Liguori with Liguori Law Office. I represent the appellee. Main issue, pretty obvious, subject matter jurisdiction. The interesting point in this case is it wasn't an issue at trial. It wasn't an issue during the pendency of trial. It wasn't ever an issue until after the judge's decree came out. And that's when Mr. Catlett raised it as an issue moving forward. But when we look at jurisdiction and we turn to residency, we look at Jeff Catlett's intention. And Mr. Catlett's intention, I mean, we can't get to Auburn, Nebraska if Jeff Catlett doesn't put us there. Jeff Catlett puts us there because, yeah, he was raised there. He did maintain a home there. He did maintain a family there. He had an older child that was outside the marriage, attending school and living there. That was his home. He was a contract worker that worked in Kuwait. And there is evidence of his lavish lifestyle. He wasn't always in Kuwait. In fact, he was all over the world. He was all over the United States. He was all over the world. He was traveling. But where was Jeff's home? Where was Mr. Catlett's home? It was Auburn, Nebraska, where his house was, where his family was, where he put them, where he had his son from outside of his marriage attending school and living, where he paid tax, or he didn't pay, filed tax returns in the United States, Nebraska tax returns. Every address that he has is the only address he has is the Auburn address. Mr. Catlett's every intention was a resident of Auburn, Nemahal County, Nebraska. That's why it wasn't an issue at trial, because Mr. Catlett was a resident of Auburn, Nemahal County, Nebraska. He asserted that position. He demanded relief from the district court judge. He asked and demanded specifically that the judge dissolve his marriage. And he asserted that it was in the proper place, proper jurisdiction, and request that the judge do this. And we can't get there if he's not a resident. The court does make the finding. It makes the finding on the very first page. Finds subject matter jurisdiction, finds personal jurisdiction over the parties. It's a non-issue. And that's the difficulty about this appeal, is that this was only brought before the court when Jeff saw that he didn't like the decision. And then it was, well, I don't want to be a resident. Well, you already made yourself a resident. You showed every intent of residency. You wanted to be a resident of Nemahal County, Nebraska. You are a resident of Nemahal County, Nebraska. He testifies at trial that it's contract work. There was actually a point in his testimony and his discussion where one contract had ended and his intent was to come back home. And when he goes on leave, he comes back home. And where was he talking about? Auburn, Nebraska. When are you coming home? I'm coming to Auburn, Nebraska at these times. So, I mean, it was never an issue. And it's not an issue before the court today. I don't see it as an issue. The district court didn't see it as an issue. Jeff Catlett, at trial, never saw it as an issue before he got the determination by the judge and then wanted to try to make it an issue later on. There are other issues in this matter that were brought forth by Mr. Catlett. One of them, as stated, the alimony issue, one-year alimony, $1,500. Obviously, we were requesting more. We thought she was entitled to more. Here's a gentleman that makes $192,000 a year, lives an outrageously extravagant lifestyle, brought his wife to his home in Auburn, Nebraska, has a homekeeper, and if she tried to work, he got upset about it. And when she did try to work, she got text messages and emails from him saying, "You're a terrible home provider. You can't take care of kids. You're at work. What are you doing? I should have custody of the kids." A man that goes and comes whenever he chooses, does whatever he chooses, then asserting that he now should have custody of the children. Alimony is a bridge to get her back into the workplace. And she needed it. It was open and obvious that she needed it. She tried to assert herself back into the workplace, and she lasted 1 week. And she realized, you know, I don't have the skills. I'm coming from Kuwait. I don't have the skills to be here. I need some help moving forward. And not only did she realize that, not only was it open and apparent to her employer, but it was open and apparent to the court. And that's why the court entered that alimony judgment, is because it was fair. It was reasonable, and she needed it. And if we look at it, we look at the child support that was ordered and the alimony that was ordered, that leaves Mr. Catlett with approximately $1,300 a month for him to live on. And he can still live in an outrageously extravagant lifestyle at $1,300 a month. So it was fair. It was appropriate. Another argument made, and this goes along with the jurisdiction argument that, to me, is almost mind-boggling, is the argument of child support for Chloe, the appellee's child outside of the marriage.
What is the legal authority for mandating child support for a child that is not his?
He filed the affidavit of support with the United States government saying he will provide support for that child.
Which is a contractual obligation.
Which is his contractual obligation.
Right. But
yes.
How does that fit within?
He takes a locus parental stance with that child and says, I accept that financial obligation for this child. Not only that, at trial, Your Honor, he agrees with it. He specifically files a child support guideline worksheet for child support on two children, including Chloe, her child. He absolutely agreed with it. He even testifies that he should support her during the term of that support affidavit, which is exactly what the judge orders, is what Mr. Catlett, his specific request on that specific issue was, I will support her till December 2014, and that's exactly how the judge ordered it. So that was under his agreement. That was his obligation. Through that support affidavit, there was no issue at trial on these issues, and that's what's mind-boggling when it comes to the appeal process, is these are issues that were outside of what Mr. Catlett was asserting, requesting, and pretty much demanding at trial. Your Honor, if there's no more questions, I'll leave it at that, and I thank you for your time.
Counsel, there was one thing that I might have misunderstood, and I want to make sure that I'm clear on it. The alimony was $1,500 a month to
yes.
your client, and that would leave the appellant how much money on a monthly basis?
Depending on his tax returns, it would, from the last 3 years up to that point, it approximately $1,300 a month.
$1,300 a month or $13,000?
Excuse me, you're right, $13,000 a month. Apologize.
Well, I just want to make sure, that's what I understood, and I thought maybe I was misreading something.
So, no, you're correct, and there's quite a differential there. Thank you for correcting me. Yes, $13,000.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I believe Mr. Catlett's out of time. Okay, the case is submitted. Counsel, you're excused. Our final case is Kelsey versus Sandy Pine Systems, Inc. Kelsey versus Sandy Pine.